Hi, put on a happy face. It's time for Love Workshop.
Good evening. A team of 3,000 American Negroes has been imported by Rhodesian guerrilla leaders to teach black Rhodesians how to be more frightening. We are unable to scare the whites with our British accents, declared one general. However, a fully trained population of 6 million jabbering, snarling American-style coons will be far more than those tea-soaked European scumbags can possibly stand. The revolutionaries have renamed the Rhodesian capital city New Detroit and plan to begin full-scale American Negro operations by early 1977.
Meanwhile, at home, the Don Bowles College Education Fund has now reached a total of $4,763,252, according to figures released today by a family spokesman. For more on the story, let's join Myrna Levinson in New York.
I'm in the office of the Chase Manhattan Bank's chief trust advisor, Gerald Olson, where his staff has just concluded its quarterly review of the $4.7 million fund. Mr. Olson, are you pleased with the fund so far?
Well, yes, I am. Our preliminary calculations tell us that the Bowles children should be able to squeeze through a combined total of around 475 years of education at a decent school, such as the University of the Americas in Mexico City, which is about $5,000 a semester before the fund runs out.
Is that in keeping with the family's original education plan?
Well, Mr. Bowles had generally intended to teach the children a valuable lesson in self-reliance by letting them pay their way through a lesser-known institution. Mm-hmm. I believe Glendale Community College was mentioned. Mm-hmm. But as an extra measure, Don had salted away well over $300 from his Arizona Republic reporter salary, just in case the kids wanted to enroll at the University of the Americas.
Oh.
So I have to say yes to your question. The $4.7 million is just sort of taking over where Don left off.
Will the children be going to college right away?
No. They like to take a good hard look at education opportunities around the world before they decide on the University of the Americas for sure. I believe that the youngest one's been college hunting all summer in the Mediterranean area, and all the others will be sailing for Rio de Janeiro soon to look over several of the better campuses there.
I'd like to ask Mr. Olson a question, if I may, Myrna. Do you expect the children to go for the entire 475 years of education all at once, or will they divide it up in some manner?
I think the latter. They'll probably attend classes for a short time, somewhere around 4 years, and then our trust department will temporarily divert the fund into a wide range of educational growth stocks, land, possibly a promising shipping venture, good-looking movie deal. Then in 10 or 15 years, the Bowles kid should have enough for a very attractive 2,000 or 3,000 years of quality education.
Communist officials appeared on Soviet television yesterday to explain to the Russian public why their MiG-25 fighter pilot defected to the West with his plane. Our reporter, Vern Shaw, monitored the broadcast in London.
3,000 pounds of heroin claimed to have been discovered in the pilot's Moscow apartment was displayed before the cameras, along with an elaborate chart showing how American heroin satellites are crossing over Russia, transmitting narcotics by microwave beam into the apartments of unsuspecting Soviet citizens every 18 and a half minutes. The officials demonstrated how American jazz planes flying at high altitudes sweep over their country playing ultrasonic jazz recordings, which allegedly softens the innocent victim, stimulating an unconscious yearning for escapism and complacency. In a recreation of the scheme, a Soviet actor portraying the pilot was shown merely holding his arm out of his window for his diabolic space fix day after day, until he was abruptly cut off by the satellite and subsequently driven by the madness of his addiction to abandon his homeland for drugs in America.
In a separate statement, the Soviet government claims to have had previous knowledge of the situation and told how they had secretly outfitted their entire Air Force with phony aluminum MiG-25s to confuse the countries where hopped-up defecting pilots flew them.
In a fuel-saving move, the Federal Energy Administration announced plans to make 10,000 Pima Indians available to the general public this winter as space heaters. According to government figures, 155-gallon drum of grade 5 corn starch will yield a total of 2,000 British Pima units of energy, enough body heat to keep an average home at 72 degrees for 3 months, at an approximate cost of 50 cents per Pima per day.
Most of you will recall the tragic death of 12-year-old Tommy Lewis while on a Boy Scout outing near the Mugeon Rim last weekend. Our investigative news staff has since uncovered a much deeper story than what initially appeared to be an unfortunate chance accident. It's not a pleasant story. It's one of agony and despair that began when Tommy was only 10 years old, the year he became an alcoholic Boy Scout.
Officials estimate there are over 800,000 chronic alcoholic Boy Scouts in America today. Not just Scouts that drink, Scouts whose minds and bodies are being destroyed by an uncontrolled daily pattern of alcohol abuse. Tommy Lewis was one of these alcoholic Boy Scouts. He might be alive today if someone had provided the proper help. If someone had recognized the signs before it was too late. Tommy's Scoutmaster, Bob Burke.
One time I asked Tommy to cook the meal for his patrol because it was his turn. I came back an hour later and he had dropped the entire meal into the campfire and ruined it for the other scouts. I thought it was just an accident.
It was no accident, unless you want to say that Tommy's problem with alcohol was an accident.
Another time I showed the troop how to tie some special knots that they would need to know, and afterwards I asked Tommy to try one of the simpler ones, and he couldn't do it. He'd had one of his blackouts and didn't remember any of the knots I'd showed him. I should have realized what was happening.
Tommy fell from a 33-foot cliff to his death. Drunk. He was an alcoholic scout.
Here's a sports note from the NCAA. Several universities have been experimenting with new footballs painted to resemble various expensive household items such as televisions, radios, tape recorders, jewelry boxes, and the like, and have apparently met with great success. The idea behind the new balls is to provide black running backs with a more familiar motivation for fast running, based on the principle that Negroes will run faster with someone's toaster than with a football. To combat the move, many teams plan to issue portable engraving tools to their defensive players, so they may detract from the appeal of the balls by marking their identification numbers on them.
Members of the World Agricultural Union have declared Australian pop singer Helen Reddy to be an honorary plow mold. Casts of her face have been exported to dozens of nations around the world, where Helen Reddy plows have been mass-produced and marketed as the world's only human furrowing implements. Just running her face through a field of beets makes me feel good, noted one happy farmer, and she makes such nice, neat, even rows, too. Malaysian farmers have been seen leading their buffaloes with as many as 10 Helen Reddy heads harnessed behind them.
Archaeologists in the Holy Lands have unearthed a group of ancient biblical scrolls that are believed to have been written by the prophets of the Old Testament. Scholars from the Roman Catholic Church in Rome have deciphered the 4,000-year-old documents and have determined them to be part of the original scriptures from which the Old Testament was compiled, and consequently have issued several official alterations to the Holy Bible. For the details, we go to our correspondent, Jill Gordon, in Jerusalem.
The biblical additions are as follows. In Abraham chapter 13, verse 16, add the words "there were" to the first sentence. In David chapter 7, verse 18, delete all references to rocks in the last paragraph. And in Joshua chapter 3, verse 3, you can copy down the following line and paste it down at the end of the verse. And it was at this time that God destroyed all of the people and left them to rot in the sun. Then he destroyed the sun and the shrubs. Also change the words "me too" to "us too" in Jacob chapter 6, verse 16. One more. In Nebuchadnezzar chapter 9, verse 3, add a semicolon after honeysuckle bush and make the L in locust lowercase.
Bill Compton, a local Phoenix radio personality, was arrested today at an Apache Junction public school playground, wearing a red jersey miniskirt and vinyl boots. Questioned by detectives, Compton admitted to leading a double life as a female cosmetologist in West Phoenix, while misleading his employers at radio station KDKB with false sinus conditions and fabricated dental problems. Compton claimed that after having jammed every girl in Maricopa County, there was really nothing left for him on that side of the fence. Officers did not elaborate on the disc jockey's attitude toward school children. A Bill Compton defense fund has been established by several well-known Valley Queer organizations. However, Compton states that being small and white has made his stay in the Maricopa County jail very pleasant, and that he is not interested in freedom at this time.
The 10 o'clock news has been brought to you in part by the Mill Avenue Drug Addict Merchandising Group.
Featuring most all of the useless crap any burned-out relic from the Summer of Love could possibly cram into his quasi-Nirvana combination ashram motorcycle shed, such as real soulful incense and beads and countless other die-hard objects de dead counterculture. Still clinging to the glory days before the belladonna french-fried your nervous system? Well, Mill Avenue's the place where an extra $35 couldn't be better spent than on an interesting plexiglass dope farm and Persian carrot press to let the general public know, in no uncertain terms, exactly where you're at, which is probably next to an evaporative cooler, wondering why things haven't worked out yet. Let's check out what one of our fine merchandising members has to offer.
Step up, step up. Here it is, at 401 Mill Avenue in Tempe, the Valley's only two-ring circus. In ring number one, bongs of every type and every size, Odyssey glass water pipes, tokers, Toker to Super Toker Smoke Savers pipes it up to boggle the modern mind. In the same ring, see the clips, the spoons, the vials, the tutors, and enough papers to fill a zoo. In ring number two, your old favorites, custom patchwork denim and India gauze clothing, along with peasant and Mexican wedding shirts and T-shirts of every variety. While you're in the circus, check out the sideshow at no extra charge. There you'll see finely crafted jewelry, cards and posters, incense and exotic imports too numerous to mention. See it all at the circus. Open 10 to 8 Monday through Saturday, noon to 6 on Sunday. 401 South Mill Avenue in Tempe.
You know, a lot of people have been writing in and asking, Vernon Craig, what are your last names? And we get so many letters asking what our last names are that tonight, instead of reading one of the letters we get, Vernon and I just thought we'd tell you what our last names are.
Well, my name's Vern Schaub, Craig.
And my name is Craig Hoover, Vern.
Vern Schaub.
Craig.
Vern
Hoover.
Schaub.
Craig.
Vern
Hoover.
Vern Schaub.
Craig Hoover. On the love workshop with Vern Schaub and Craig Hoover.
Craig Hoover.
Vern Schaub and Craig Hoover.
Vern Schaub.
And Craig.
Craig Hoover.
On the love.